The Coast Guard has recovered the victims of a T-6 crash in the Gulf of Mexico. The pilot of a Crusader down in Virginia is identified. And the NTSB chair calls for better science on the effects of fatigue. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 8, 2010. The U.S. Coast Guard reports recovering two bodies in about 50 feet of water after Saturday's crash of a T-6 Texan in the Gulf of Mexico. Witnesses say the aircraft was part of a five-plane formation flying just off the coast of Topsail Hill State Park in the Florida Panhandle and hit the water just after completing a loop. As of our deadline, neither the identity of the victims nor any airshow team affiliation had been released. Local media have identified the pilot of a Cessna T-303 Crusader that went down Thursday afternoon in Louisa County, Virginia, hitting a house and killing the pilot. He's identified as 62-year-old Jay Youngquist of Reston, Virginia. The only person reported to have been in the home was in the basement at the time and escaped without injury. The house sustained extensive damage from the impact and resulting fire. WUSA-TV reports the plane had departed Manassas at about noon Thursday and landed at Freeman Field in Louisa County to refuel. The pilot reportedly frequently bought fuel at Freeman because of lower prices there. After leaving Freeman, the plane was reported by witnesses to have gone quiet before nosediving into the home. Youngquist was said to be traveling to Danville, Virginia, to umpire a baseball game. On Friday, U.S. National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Deborah Herzman encouraged the sleep research and healthcare community to continue its efforts to educate transportation policymakers on the dangers of fatigue in all modes of transportation. Speaking before the annual conference of the National Sleep Foundation in Washington, D.C., she remarked that fatigue has been a concern for the board since the creation of the agency in 1967, and it has been an issue on the board's most wanted list of transportation safety improvements since that list was established in 1990. Quote, "We can't always prove fatigue is a cause of an accident, but the frequency with which we now routinely document the presence of fatigue-related factors in transportation operations is alarming," unquote. Herzman remarked that while there are still no definitive tools to conclusively identify the degree to which a person is fatigued, the major challenge is to ensure that all those in transportation report to work rested and fit for duty, for their own safety and for the safety of those they are transporting. Up next on ANN, Boeing farms out management of Dreamlifter flights. Lockheed's team builds the world's biggest spacecraft heat shield. And the DoD moves to shorten delays in the Joint Strike Fighter program. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 8th. I'm Paul Plack. Atlas Air Worldwide Holdings, a provider of global air cargo assets and outsourced aircraft operating services, announced Thursday it has been selected by Boeing to provide key supply chain support for production of the 787 Dreamliner. Atlas Air will receive contractually determined revenues for operation of the Dreamlifter aircraft, with Boeing assuming responsibility for certain direct costs, including fuel, and maintaining ownership of the aircraft. The Obama administration wants to cancel NASA's Constellation program, effective at the end of this September, but the various contractors working on the bits and pieces are still moving forward. Lockheed Martin, which leads the team developing the Orion crew exploration vehicle, says it has fabricated the world's largest heat shield. The shield is 5 meters or 16.4 feet in diameter. The work was completed at Lockheed Martin's composite development facility in Denver, Colorado. It uses a new high-temperature resin, which allows heat shields to be made thinner, allowing better optimization of spacecraft mass. Lockheed says the resin will also have uses beyond spacecraft heat shields, including uses in aircraft and cars. The U.S. Defense Department and Lockheed Martin have told international partners that changes have been made to management of the Joint Strike Fighter Development Program, which has reportedly slipped by 30 months, to allow shortening that delay to 13 months. Ashton Carter, DOD's Undersecretary for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, said management steps to speed development include procuring one more carrier variant aircraft and additional regular aircraft to conduct flight testing and changes in software development. Delays and cost overruns in the project since 2002 have threatened to trigger the U.S. Nunn-McCurdy Law's provisions for cancellation of programs that reach 25% in overruns. Still ahead, this may have been more than a routine stall accident. Embry-Riddle enters a fuel economy challenge, and Fortune survives through more than good luck. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 8th. I'm Paul Plagg. The NTSB has released its final report on an accident which killed two pilots in a Cessna 320D in the traffic pattern at Ehrman Acres Airport near Collinsville, Oklahoma, in September of 2008. The probable cause is listed as the crew's failure to maintain adequate airspeed, resulting in an aerodynamic stall close to the ground. That's a fairly common finding, but the toxicology reports offer a possible explanation for why it may have happened. The plane's owner, Harvey Hazelwood, was an A&P mechanic with airplane single and multi-engine land ratings and 250 total hours of flight time. He also had hip pain and post-traumatic stress disorder and was being treated with prescription antidepressants, nortriptyline, fluoxetine, and trazodone. Aside from the possibility of distraction from hip pain or impairment from any of the three drugs individually, fluoxetine can interfere with the breakdown of nortriptyline, increasing its concentration in the bloodstream. The other pilot on board, Larry Jackson, was a commercial pilot and CFI with 2,000 hours, a friend of Hazelwood's, and it helped him restore the 320. Jackson had allergy symptoms occasionally treated by using diphenhydramine, an over-the-counter sedating antihistamine, and the NTSB found it was likely, based on toxicology, that Jackson had recently taken the drug and was impaired. The Tulsa World reports both pilots lived at Ehrman Acres, and neither had admitted use of the medications on their most recent medicals. NTSB could not determine which of them was acting as PIC. Examination of the aircraft wreckage turned up no pre-crash mechanical anomalies. Researchers at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University are inviting partners to join them in the Green Flight Challenge. The contest requires competitors to produce and fly an aircraft that can average at least 100 miles an hour, reach 4,000 feet, and achieve more than 200 passenger miles per gallon. Embry-Riddle is one of 18 competitors selected. The Green Flight Challenge will culminate in a two-day, 200-mile race in Santa Rosa, California, in July of next year. A prize of $1.5 million is being offered by NASA and the CAFE Foundation, Comparative Aircraft Flight Efficiency. The Embry-Riddle team plans to use a STEMI S10 motor glider, with a piston engine replaced by an electric motor powered by batteries and fuel cells. A team of 200 students will participate across a variety of disciplines, including fundraising by the business students. Finally, the adjective miraculous gets abused, but not in this case. Britain's Sun newspaper reports an RAF Chinook pilot named Ian Fortune landed to rescue troops injured in a firefight with heavily armed rebels near Garmsir in Afghanistan's Helmand province, and started taking fire as the casualties were being loaded onto the helicopter. Just as he was taking off, the Chinook took a hit, which took out its stabilization system, and another round hit Fortune in the face, striking his helmet's attachment rail for night vision goggles, penetrating the helmet, and hitting him between the eyes. His head was knocked back and he was bleeding. Somehow, Fortune flew the machine 8 minutes to Camp Bastion, with the helicopter lurching from side to side, according to witnesses, and got everybody safely down. He was treated there for his injuries. His superior said that had the bullet struck 1 millimeter lower, or the pilot been any less skilled, quote, those on board wouldn't have stood a chance, unquote. His name may be Fortune, but it's safe to say his outcome involved more than luck. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves asks, how many accidents blamed on icing are actually caused by stalls? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.